Thank you, Jesus. And now, using the words of Psalm 51, let's confess our sinfulness to God our Father together. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Amen. Hear this good news. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us of all of our sins. As a minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I get to declare that our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We join in the litany. Lord, though you made us, we strayed, yet you did not abandon us.
Praise you, Father, for your grand plan of salvation.
Father, in your mercy, you offered us deliverance through your Son.
We praise you, Lord, for your grand plan of forgiveness.
Almighty God, you continue to give us light to a dark world.
We praise you, Father, for your grand plan of new life now.
Lord, through the centuries, your people have wavered.
We praise you, Lord, for your grand plan of mercy and grace.
Jesus, you taught and healed, bled and died to pay the price for our sin.
We praise you, God, for your grand plan of eternal life to come.
Savior, you were raised for us and won victory over sin, death, and Satan.
We praise you, God, for your grand plan of Christ our Savior.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you for that reminder. I need it often. Let's bow. Almighty God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So may we ever seek to have the light shine on our lives as opposed to walking in darkness. Lord, reveal to us that which you would have us heed and by faith obey. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The sermon series is titled The Grand Plan. And the theme for today is Prophet Spurned, Temple Burned. As we ponder what parts of God's word we may not want to hear, and the consequences of that, we have two Bible passages. The first is from 1 Kings 22, verses 5 through 8. But Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, also said to Ahab, the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel, Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" They said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But King Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no other prophet of the Lord here of whom we may inquire?" The king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one other by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies anything favorable about me, but only disaster." And the second reading is from 2 Kings 25, 9 through 11. Nebuzaradan of Babylon burned the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every great house he burned down. All the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem and carried into exile the rest of the people who were left in the city and the deserters who had defected to the king of Babylon. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of our mouths, meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Our Lenten sermon series continues with the grand plan as stated earlier. Tonight our focus theme is prophets spurned, temple burned. And so before we get into that little piece of paper that you have there, that's actually for you to take home or to take some notes on tonight. You really don't have to follow along or fill in any blanks or that type of thing. Just the whole story is written there. We're not going to be able to read that whole story just in light of time because some of you would have ended up like Popeye up here, maybe. But I'll do it a Reader's Digest version here in a little bit, but for you to take it home and read it word for word, make sure I'm not making stuff up here. The Bible, in Bible times, different religious orders took on various religious roles, all right? So just going to name three of them here. There were the rabbis, and so rabbis were the teachers. And so they taught the Jewish faith to those who were up and coming. They were instructors. They led people in not only learning, but really memorizing the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they also learned then the 613 Jewish laws that people were to follow. That was the job of the rabbis. There's also then the priests. Priests were the ones who cared for the flock, all right? They're the ones who led people in worship. They offered the animal sacrifice on behalf of people. They oversaw activity at the temple and also the local synagogues. Those are the priests. And then the ones we're talking about tonight are the prophets. And their primary responsibility was being the spokesman, being the spokespersons for God. The prophet was basically the designated voice who often proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord." All right? So as a matter of fact, if you were to Google that, I didn't count them myself, but Googled it, supposedly that is said over 400 times in the Old Testament. A lot of prophetic words. And those words come through primarily the 16 prophetic books in the Old Testament. Those 16 include Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And so those are the 16 prophets. And they pronounce, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord." Well, today's Bible reading, the very first one, is about a prophet by the name of Micaiah. And Micaiah is one of those less well-known prophets in the Bible, but I think he truly illustrates the importance of the what we would call the prophetic role, and that is translating or sharing the message of God. We only read three verses of that particular passage. There's 40 verses, I think, in that story that you have out there. Again, we're not going to read the entire chapter in light of time. But again, I encourage you to take it home and read it because I think it's the perfect one. Perfect one as we focus upon prophets spurned, temple burned. So here we go. We're going to jump into it. We're going to grab a few Bible applications, and those are after certain paragraphs there. Not going to read that, though. Let me tell you the story. Our Bible story happened about 200 years after what was called the United Kingdom of Israel, after it divided. And so it was a united kingdom under King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. But about the time Solomon died, it broke up. It was kind of a civil war, you might say. North against the south, very much like here in the United States. And the southern kingdom was called Judah. The northern kingdom was called Israel. And our story here begins with the two kings because they had separate kings, they had separate prophets, they had separate capital cities and temples as well. But these two kings who often battled between each other, oftentimes fought among each other, one was named Ahab. He was the king in the north. That was called Israel. And the one in the south was called Jehoshaphat. So he was the king in the south. These two kings get together and they form an alliance. They form an alliance against a common enemy called the Arameans. And see, the Arameans had taken away, they had stolen one of the towns of Israel. Pastor Jan pronounced that name. I'm not even going to. Gilead, Moshele, Holakala, Malala, however that was. But what happened is the Arameans had taken a city. And the two kings got together and said, hey, we can't let this happen. We're going to have to go to battle. You want to go to battle with me? The other one said, yep, I'll go to battle with you. Let's do it together. But get this. Before they take up arms, before they start fighting, King Jehoshaphat, the one from the south, was real quick to say, let's inquire of the Lord. Let's consult the prophets. Let's see what they may have to say about whether or not we should go to war or not. Basically what they're saying is, let's pray about it first, all right? Yeah, that's our first faith point. That's one for us to think about. It's a strong one. It's a great one. Pray first, act second. I don't know if you're like me. So often we decide something and we get into doing it. And then as we're doing it, then we ask God to bless it. We jump into actions and then we kind of want to have God enter into it. And it ought to be just the opposite. It ought to be the opposite. We come before God in prayer, kind of get a sense of God's direction with that, and then kind of make our faith move. Now, these two kings who are going to make some bad mistakes later in this story, this is a great thing that they did. They is a great faith move that they wanted to pray first, consult the prophets, and then they were going to act second. So King Ahab said, that's a great idea. Let's go ahead and do it. So what Ahab does is, you read your story later tonight, he gathers his private fleet of prophets. And so he's a king. And guess how many prophets that he has? You might have read the story already. He has 400 prophets. All right? And so he asks them what they should do. And all these 400, they get together. Well, we should say something about the 400, right? The 400 prophets are probably on the royal payroll. All right? They've got good job security. They probably have decent pay, great benefits. They have palace privileges, and probably even a solid pension plan. But all to say, they probably wanted to make the king happy. And so I think in the story, you sort of get the sense that King Ahab is just itching to get his city back, the one that the Arameans had stolen. And so in an almost knee-jerk reaction, these 400 prophets, they get together and they say, go for it. They say, go for it. The Lord is going to give the king the city back in his hands. Now, Jehoshaphat's a little bit slower to act. Jehoshaphat, I guess it's not his city. He's the king of the south. He was sensing maybe that these spiritual counselors of the king's cabinet were probably more interested in telling the king exactly what the king wanted to hear, as opposed to truly consulting the Lord God. And so he quickly, as you read that story tonight, he quickly asked this question, and we read it tonight, as a matter of fact, is there possibly someone else who can give us a second opinion, right? This leads us to our second faith point here. Consulting God and continuing to consult God is always, always a good spiritual move. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's never a bad thing to continue to seek God's counsel. Maybe to refine your discernment on a decision that you need to make. Maybe to get greater spiritual clarity. Martin Luther, the father of Lutheranism, once said that when you're seeking God's will, when you're trying to make a godly decision on a big thing, he said, do three things. He said, be in your Bible often. Be in your Bible often, because that's the primary way that God talks to us these days. We open our Bible. It's not one of those things that, all right, God, what do you want me to do? You open it up and point to a scripture, and that's what you do. No. Pastor Zesh did that one time. I don't know exactly the detail on it, but it was something like he opened the book and pointed, and it was, Judas, go hang yourself. And so it wasn't exactly that. But it was something close. But Martin Luther said, read your Bible. Be in the Word on a regular basis so that you can discern decisions as they come your way. Second thing Luther said is pray. He said, pray about that particular subject. And the third thing Luther said is consult with trusted Christian companions. And not just people who are going to agree with you. Christian fellowship and asking people what their thoughts are, asking them, inviting them to pray along with you. Luther went on to say this, if you don't get a clear answer, or if you don't get some sense of direction on that, then what you should do, read your Bible more, pray more, and visit with other brothers and sisters, particularly those who might not agree with you. Our Bible story continues. with Ahab answering Jehoshaphat's question, and I heard the chuckles out there, right? Ahab said, yeah, there is one prophet here in the kingdom. We can inquire of the Lord by him. His name is Micaiah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies anything favorable about me, only disaster. So I think Jehoshaphat's senses rise up a little more. He becomes a little more suspicious about Ahab's prophets being just yes men. And he says, let's call in this independent prophet. Yeah, let's call in this independent personnel. And so that's what they do. They call in this Micaiah to weigh and to pray in on this subject. Well, that gets us to our third faith point is, do you want truth or just want affirmation? You see, the basic job of a prophet was supposedly to tell a truth-telling, God-telling truth. He was a spokesperson on behalf of the nation of Israel. Even when the truth is hard, he was supposed to tell the truth. My wife can be a pretty hard truth teller to me. Especially when it comes to things I don't want to hear, but I need to hear. And you know, I'm just going to say the little things here, okay? Y'all don't need to know the big things, all right? But, hon, you're chewing too loud. Hon, those pants don't match that shirt before we leave the house. Hon, there's only two of us living in this house, but was it you that made the kitchen a mess again? Well, at times my wife can be a whole lot more direct. Anybody remember that old Honest Abe Geico commercial where Abraham Lincoln is there and his wife is there? They're going to go out on a social event, and the wife is standing in front of a mirror, and she turns her back to Honest Abe, and she says, "Hun, does this dress make my backside look too big?" Y'all remember that one? And Honest Abe sort of hems and haws for about 20 or 30 seconds, rubbing his chin, scratching his head, and finally he says, maybe a little. And she goes storming off. Were prophets. The prophets were called upon to be Honest Abes on steroids, not to mince words, cut to the chase. It's sort of like the person who still has these ideas of just watching church on TV. They kind of like are like Ahab. They really don't want to hear the truth. And so this one person, I don't know if it was jokingly or not jokingly, but this one person says, you know, in addition to being able to watch church at home, I can do it in my pajamas. I've got my coffee right there. I'm in my bed or on my sofa. And the other benefit is this: if I don't like what the preacher is saying that day, I can turn him off. I think that's what Ahab had in mind when he said, I don't really like this guy because he never tells me what I want to hear. Ahab knew that Micaiah was a straight shooter. He wasn't going to spray a perfume on God's word. He really didn't want to hear it. But nonetheless, Micaiah is summoned. He is headed towards the king. But before he gets to the king, actually the two kings, there's a fellow by the name of Zedekiah. You'll hear that in your story. Zedekiah stops him on the way. And Zedekiah says to the prophet, let me tell you who Zedekiah is. He's the chief prophet of the king's royal prophets, all right? So he's the top dog of the 400. And so Zedekiah catches Micaiah on the way to the king's, and he says, look, man, I know you like to rock the boat, but let me just say this one time, all the prophets, all of us, all 400 of us have agreed, without exception, we're predicting success for the king if we go into battle. So for this one time, just this one time, won't you agree with us and make the king happy? That's the BV version, the Bobby Vitek version. It's a little bit different in your translation. But that's basically what he says. And Micaiah answers verse 14. He says this: as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. Well, as Micaiah arrives, there's this honking big party going on. It's there at the palace. The two kings are sitting on their royal thrones. They're in their full regalia. The story says that. The 400 prophets are right there, and they're just having a great time. They're prophesying before the kings right then and there. They're telling them how great they are, how wonderful of leaders they are, how powerful their army is, and how sweet the victory is going to be. And this isn't said in there, but I got a feeling it's got to be a part of the story. This isn't said there, but I'd be willing to bet that there was probably an abundant amount of wine drinking going on too. And not the sacramental part. So I got to imagine that they were probably well lubricated. And so Micaiah stands before the two kings. And at first in this story, he mockingly tells Ahab exactly what he wants to hear. He forecasts good news of victory over the Arameans. But Ahab hears Micaiah's sarcasm. And he swears to him. He says, swear to me that you're going to tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So sure enough, Micaiah tells him. He tells the notoriously wicked Ahab what the Lord God has really said. And a prophet's report is devastating. He says that your prophets, the 400, have deceived you. They've lied. They told you what you wanted to hear. Let me tell you what's truly going to happen if you go to war. Your army will be scattered. And, O king, you will not escape death. Well, in a rage, Ahab shouted. He said, Didn't I tell you this guy never predicts anything good for me? Why do we even listen to him? And Zedekiah, the chief prophet, he goes up to, it's in the story right there, he goes up to Micaiah and he slaps him on the face. He publicly mocks him. And then Ahab shouts out, he says, throw this man in jail. Put him in prison. Put him on bread and water until I return from battle in peace and in victory. Well, Micaiah is dragged off to jail in the story. And as he's dragged off, he's issuing this final warning. He's shouting at Ahab first, and he says, If you ever return safely, then the Lord has not spoken through me. Mark my words, all you people. Well, the kings go to war. And despite listening to Micaiah's warning, Ahab is mortally struck with an Aramean arrow. He bleeds out in his own chariot, and he dies there, just as the prophet predicted. That leads us to three final pieces in this story that I think are relevant for us. They talk about the consequences. Two of them are consequences of listening to a prophet's word, and one is of not, but the first one is a prophetic voice is not often a popular voice, right? Prophetic voice is not often a popular voice. And so it was in this particular story. Nobody wanted to hear. Nobody wanted to hear what Micaiah had to say. So it reminds me of this, that God's truth is not worldly truth. God's word is not even human truth. God's word is not even a majority vote truth. You see, if it's God's truth, even if the vote is 400-1, God's truth prevails. Makes me think about convenience abortion. It may be legal, but it's not biblical. Makes me think about same-sex relationships that are widely popular on TV these days, and many states have voted that it's legal in those states, but it's not biblical. But popular opinion is not always godly opinion. That's the first consequence. You could get thrown in jail, get slapped on the face. The second consequence is as a result of not being popular, the prophetic voice is often silenced. Or to say it a bit differently, God's truth can get you slapped in the face. God's truth can get you thrown in jail. Or some version of that. It was a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Maybe you've heard that name. He was a Lutheran pastor during World War II. He prophetically spoke against Nazi Germany. And he was jailed. He was eventually hanged. He wrote a book titled The Cost of Discipleship. In that book, he explains that the faithful Christian journey often includes persecution, discrimination, harassment, and even death. I think about three real quick examples. The company executive who was told to remove the cross from his desk. I think about the college student who came home here in this congregation, told a story of how her grade was lowered because she was outspoken about her faith in a class. Or a high school coach who was asked to not wear his cross necklace on the outside of his shirt. I might be prophetic in our words, sensing that God is asking us to speak up in a certain situation, expect some sort of slaps in our face or imprisonments, attempts to silence our faith. And the third consequence, there can be a negative outcome for not heeding God's prophetic word. And that's what we find with Ahab, right? King Ahab refused to allow God's truth to be his guiding truth in this story, and it led him to the road of destruction. And ultimately, the consequence which occurred through the nation of Israel time and time again, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, led up to that second reading that we read tonight. And that was the burning of the temple as the Jews were dragged off into Babylonian captivity. The holy temple being destroyed by fire. You see, it's a story of prophets throughout the ages being spurned. People don't want to hear it. And temples being burned. And yet God's redeeming grace, get this, don't miss this. God's redeeming grace ultimately sends the prophet of all prophets, Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And He entered our human rebellion, and He still does. He does tonight with the Holy Communion. And He does that to be the one that even though His prophetic words to us so many times, we spurn it. We take the parts we like, but we reject the parts we don't necessarily like, or we curb them to our lifestyles. And He then even allows His own temple, His body, to be burned in death on the cross. And yet He still brings us forgiveness. He still brings us forgiveness of our sins as we confess those sins. And He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can repent from our sinfulness and maybe even live differently. Sisters and brothers in Christ, may we not only hear the prophet Savior Jesus' words that you are forgiven. Go and celebrate that new life. Be prophetic voices where we need to be prophetic voices. Because there's a world out there that desperately needs that. May we not only hear, but may we heed. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Prayer, let's dedicate not only these gifts, but our lives in this week ahead as well. Together we pray. Merciful Father,
we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of Him who offered Himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Have your Holy Communion packets close to you if you're going to participate. But first, let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we gather this day to praise your name. We thank you, God, for your abundant grace, your abundant mercy poured out for us. Just first of all, in the gift of physical life, we're breathing today. We thank you, God, for your grace of this physical life. But even more so, we thank you for the gift of Christ our Savior, who came into this world, O Lord. And even though His prophetic word is often shunned, Lord, forgive us. And you find us redeemable. And you love us. And you continue to call us in relationship with you. So, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for your presence, your power, your promises, and ultimately your peace. May your grace and mercy prevail. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we pray that you lead us. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be connected in a solid way to your word, but where we may discern your will in a greater way, but where we may commit time intentionally to prayer. And, Lord, in those situations where we find ourselves wrestling, even to consult with brothers and sisters in Christ, many of whom may not necessarily agree with our particular leanings. So, Lord, guard us, guide us, and keep us so that we may apply our faith to our daily lives. Lord, your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, lead us to be more aware that you are always working in our lives, even communicating with us through that word, through prayer, through the voices of others, prodding, nudging, whispering, sometimes even taking a two before. The Lord, continue to comfort us of where we're disturbed, and disturb us where we become way too comfortable in our sin. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of Lords, we praise you for the gift of rain that you sent upon the land this last week. And we anticipate, oh Lord, more of that abundant gift from the sky, possibly this next week. But your timing is the perfect timing. So Lord, help us. Help us, oh Lord, to be grateful for that which we have received. And always know that how dependent we are upon you for our future needs. Lord, we're also thankful. Thankful for all those who went to North Texas and fought the fires. Lord, we're praying for the offerings that we gave last month to that North American Lutheran Church Disaster Relief Fund, some of which those funds will go help and support people who lost homes and livestock, property, churches, and even life. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to respond to those who have needs. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Blessed Savior, we do pray for all who have need. God, we want to particularly pray for those who are distant from you, distant from knowing your love, your passion for sinners, your grace and your mercy. We uplift, Lord, also those in the hospital this past week. Imogene Sholian, Nora Fiddler, Kat Jacoby. We're thankful, God, for the birth of young Isaac. Praying for continued healing with Katie as she recovers. We pray, God, for those in our family of faith that we're aware of who are on hospice. Pray for their families as well. Emmeline Stubblefield, Leroy Young, Lynette Cromer, Darlene St. Clair, Stanley Feller, and Shepherd of us. We pray that you keep us united with those who once sat among us but now are homebound, or they reside in care facilities. And this week, oh God, we uplift Warren House, Mary Cass, Donnie Klein, Cora Knopf, Luke Cook, Helma Coaster, Stanley Feller, and Leroy and Shirley Young. We thank you, Lord, for the visitation ministers. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Jan and Pastor Allen. We thank you, Lord, for those who are part of the Holy Communion Visitation Ministry. We pray, oh Lord, that through this ministry, people's faith would continue to be strengthened and look to you as our refuge. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Now come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and not just be our guest, but be our host. Be the leader. As we receive this bread and wine, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, for the assurance of sins forgiven, for your presence with us in our darkness, for your power in our weakness, together now as we pray. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With your holy, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience. We thank you, Lord, for your generosity in Christ, who is our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the gift of prayer, for the gift of Christian companionship in this journey. We thank you, Lord, for Holy Communion tonight, which assures us of sins forgiven. We pray, God, that you give us faith where we need faith, grace where we need grace extended to others, mercy for ourselves, but not for ourselves alone, but for those around us. So lead us, O Lord, seek to be your people in this day and time, pointing to you as the way, the truth, and the life. In Christ Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please rise as you are able. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord's face shine on you. Be gracious to you. Lord look upon you with his favor. Grant you his peace now and always.
Amen.
Worship's ended.
And the service begins.
We leave to live out God's call.
To save the lost and strengthen the saved.
Here we go to be and make disciples.
Blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hold on to this. Remember he is with you always.
Even until the end of time.
God bless you in the new time.